Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm not joined by Pete Dolson this week. It's a sad week. There's no Pete yet again. But we are joined, on a rather more positive note, by the one and only Ryotaro Sakurai. Once again, he's back. Mr. Footloose himself. How are you doing, Ryotaro?
I am back.
Oh, dear God.
Footloose.
Oh, God. I love how you snorted there after singing it. Good God. This is the second time Ryotaro's on the podcast.
Yes.
He was here on Thursday. Now he's back again on Sunday.
I'm getting used to it now.
This will be the second and final time Ryotaro's
final.
on the Abroad Japan podcast. And this week, because Ryotaro is, credit where it's due, a genius and all-knowing wise man when it comes to Japan travel. He's travelled Japan more than anyone I know, except maybe myself. I don't know. I wonder who has travelled Japan more out of you and I. Have you been to all 47 prefectures?
No, I haven't. No, 45.
Rubbish.
45.
Ah, 47, yeah, my friend.
Yeah, I know.
But Ryotaro knows Japan probably better than I do, because he has travelled more thoroughly within those 45 prefectures. So today, we are going to grill him on his 12 must-see places around Japan. It's going to be an interesting one. This is one of the most popular topics we get on the podcast.
Actually. 12 things?
12 places.
12 places? Oh, my God.
Yeah, 12 things will be the next time you come on.
Okay.
12 places around the country. And because you've travelled so extensively, I'm sure it's going to be, you know, a pretty interesting list. We're not talking like Harajuku and Asakusa. We're going to go a little bit deeper than that.
Nah.
This is for like people that really want to see the real Japan. The real Japan. But first things first. We've got a question here from Mike the other day, and he wants to get the sort of your opinion on something. It says, "Hi Chris and Ryotaro, glad you're okay after the monster earthquake. In your video last week, you mentioned that this was the first time that you felt that you actually might die. during the earthquake. This made me think, are Japanese people so used to earthquakes that it doesn't faze them? How did Natsuki and Ryotaro take the earthquake, for example? I'm glad to see you're safe. All the best, guys. Mike from Berlin. So, I mean, the earthquake, it's been about 2 weeks now since the very scary earthquake that leveled the Abroad in Japan studio. It's now back on its feet, though. It's all looking good. But, you know, I did speak to you the night of the earthquake to get your sort of thoughts and see how you were. And even you were sort of rattled by the earthquake, right?
Oh, yeah. I haven't had that strong earthquake for the last 11 years, actually.
11 years.
11 years. Yeah. Last one we had was a 3-1-1, right?
Yeah, big one.
So, so we haven't had that kind of earthquake for ages. So the earthquake doesn't really start strong. Normally it starts from like kind of weak. But the since 3-1-1, what happened was that they actually, now we are all equipped with a smartphone with alarm. So it will actually alert you just before, like I'm talking about like 3 seconds before the earthquake comes. And so that alert actually went on, right? The alert only goes on when they think it's going to be a really strong one.
Right. Yeah, because I always wonder what the sort of what determines when the alert goes off. Because it isn't, I don't think I've had the alarm since last year when there was a magnitude 7, I think. It went off then, and that frightened the life out of me because I hadn't heard it in so long. Yeah.
So when I heard it, like I was a bit warned, right? I was like, oh shit, it's going to be a strong one.
So it
started really kind of slow. And then suddenly it gets like stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Normally, we are used to earthquakes, but normally it stops and it goes down.
Yeah.
It gets to the peak and it goes down. The peak is not that high. That's what our ordinary like earthquakes we are having is normally like that. But this time it went on and went on and went on. It got stronger and stronger and stronger. Like 3-1-1, 11 years ago.
Did anything break in your house?
Unfortunately not. Nothing.
Unfortunately.
Oh, unfortunately.
Ryotaro wanted to exploit his insurance policy.
And get some money.
Oh, no, my car's broken.
Get some money, yeah.
I'll need a new Ferrari.
Business. But yeah, nothing. But my office got destroyed.
Did it?
Yeah, because I live in a house, right?
You do.
I live in a house. So that's why, like, it's a two-story houses. So because it's lower.
Oh, and your office is, like, 4 stories up, right?
Sixth.
Ah, okay.
Sixth floor. So that's why, it shakes a lot.
But you don't get... You weren't scared by the earthquake, were you?
I was a bit, because it was, you know, like I told you, it was one of the strongest since the earthquake we had in 2011. So I was like, oh shit, not again. That's what I thought.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And last time, during the big one, was there any, you think you told me there was no water for like 2 weeks or something?
A week, 10 days.
That's terrifying.
10 days. No electricity for 3 days, no water for 10 days.
What did you do for those 3 days without electricity? I can't imagine that. It's horrifying.
Camping. So what happens when you lose your electricity or power is that your fridge doesn't work anymore. Right? So meaning that you have to eat whatever it's in there.
Have to eat the ham and cheese. So,
you know, what we did the barbecuing. Seriously. Ugh. We had like a whole barbecue kit that we used to use for the camping, right?
Bloody
so
hell.
We just took that out and then we just put the fire on to, you know, just kind of do
I mean, I live in an apartment block. How can I have a barbecue?
Outside.
What, on the balcony?
Yeah.
I think it's
that's what people are doing. Jesus. Seriously.
That's insane.
And so you go outside and the supermarket, it was all open, like with a like kind of like little like hat. And what they did was like they were actually serving everything for free.
Good God.
Yeah, like ice creams especially.
Wow.
It's getting melt.
Well, it's there getting you melted. Go. Yeah. Big earthquake, but you get a free ice cream. What about the water situation? How'd you get around that?
Well, so there was like the huge tank right beside the where I live, right? So the tank had water in it. So actually, it went on for 3 days, first 3 days. So like when we did not have electricity, we had water.
Okay.
But after 3 days, that water that was in the tank went out.
Ran out.
So that's the day that for the fourth day, we started losing the water.
Whoa.
For more than a week.
What did you drink?
So what we did is we had water in the bathtub to use it for the toilet, to flush it. Right, but for the drinking water, we had just drinking water, just, you know.
How?
How? I had it like in the bottle, like the plastic bottles. Okay. Yeah.
So you're able to get drinking some water.
And also, like, there are some, like, you know, cars with the water and running around. And, you know, people get water from these cars.
Okay.
Yeah, like, run by city.
It sounds like there was a good sense of order during this time.
Yes. For instance, we have this called thing called a Chonai Kai, which is like a township. Like, little, like it's a smaller version of township. Your neighbors.
Right, right.
Neighbors have, we have, like, groups. The group in the each area. Say a group of, say, 20 or 30 households.
Okay.
And each of those the groups has its own kind of a meeting space. And when earthquake happens, these group like work together.
Okay.
So someone has got a generator and a pump up generator so that you can actually recharge your battery there, for instance, for the smartphones and stuff. So these groups, Chonai Kai, actually worked really, really well.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. And that was everywhere in Japan. So
the merits of collectivism.
I guess
teamwork.
So.
Teamwork coming through it yeah. as a team.
We're good
There's
at
a
it.
Sense that if something like that happened in the UK, it'd be like every man for himself.
Yeah.
And I want all the water. Give me all the electricity.
Yeah. Why is that in Britain, for instance, when these kind of things happen? Why do people break into the supermarkets and steal things?
I mean, I don't think we have had that happen, to be fair. I don't think it's happened, but I feel like, yeah, public disorder is a much higher risk in sort of Western countries where individualism is like prioritized, right?
Like we are so used to queuing up. That's what it is, I guess.
Well, I mean, yeah, Japan's in its element when everyone's working as a team, though.
Yeah,
like, and you have to because the country's so densely populated, right? You know, but really interesting question, Mike, and a very interesting answer there from Ryotaro.
Yes.
Before we begin this list of 12 places around Japan, a whirlwind tour, some good news, or rather an exciting announcement. This month, we are about to begin filming of a brand new series of Journey Across Japan.
JAJ.
And for the first time in a long time, I think you were last on the original one, right?
I was.
4 years ago now, 2018. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, I bet you feel old now. But Ryotaro is actually going to be joining for this series, meaning you and Natsuki, finally, at last, after...
In the same video.
A decade, are going to be in the same video.
For the first time.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
No, because, I mean, well, everyone thinks that we're the same person, right?
You are the same. But, oh God. It's like, that'd be a very interesting person, like multiple personality, split personality disorder. Punk rocker versus Muppet. Choking to death, Muppet. But this series of Journey Across Japan, we're going south. We are going to the islands of Okinawa and Ishigaki. Somewhere that I've only been once, albeit briefly, and somewhere that I've yet to explore. I don't think Joey or Natsuki have ever been there.
No kidding.
You've been to Ishigaki quite a lot.
I've been to Ishigaki, I've been to Okinawa.
You could be something of a tour guide.
Yeah, I've got relatives there as well.
Oh, well, you could be our tour guide in Ishigaki. And we're actually joined by my good friend, Chiaki. We haven't seen since the Sapporo Snow Festival with Pete Donaldson a few years ago. I actually gave Natsuki and Chiaki this really strong hot sauce. The strongest hot sauce in the world.
Like a death sauce.
Yeah, they got very arrogant and were like, yeah, we could do it. And then they nearly died. And
Where's it from? The States?
This hot sauce, yeah.
It's always American.
Yeah, YouTube series. But yeah, Jackie's going to guide us around Okinawa. You're going to guide us around Ishigaki. So it's going to be a lot of fun, guys. We start filming in about 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
So right, exciting. Close. And the series should be out in late May / early June. So something to really look forward to there. I'm very excited to get out of Sendai and go somewhere a bit hot and sunny. It's been a while since I've been anywhere nice.
And we are carefully like planning something that's very, very exciting.
Are we?
Yeah,
okay.
I think so.
Well, it sounds pretty ominous. Sounds like Ryotaro's got a surprise. I want to see you and Natsuki have like a sword fight, right? Whenever I make a video, whenever I make Journey Across Japan, I start with the trailer. What would I want to see in that trailer? And one of the things I want to see, I've bought the rights to the song Relax by Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Relax, don't do it.
Yeah, that one. I bought that, right? And I'm going to have that as the trailer song. And I want you and Natsuki to have like a sword fight with that music.
Sword fight. What is it to do with the song?
Because everyone's going to be like, wow, it's Ryotaro and Natsuki, right?
Yeah, but why is it relaxed? Does it have to be relaxed?
Well, because I thought because it's going to be like paradise.
It's like a dream come true.
It's like beautiful paradise. No, not you and Natsuki paradise. Like, because Okinawa is literally paradise.
Yeah, that. But me and Natsuki, you know, it's more, even more paradise.
Don't know about that. But like, I thought it'd be quite fun to watch you have like a sword fight and do some sort of, I don't know. Maybe I'm getting carried away, but you've got that to look forward to, guys. So, plenty to look forward to. And now, 12 must-see places in Japan.
Right.
From the great Ryotaro. Number one, what have we got? I mean, this is in no particular order, right?
No, no.
Okay, okay.
Like, from north, south, doesn't really matter.
What we got, then? Impress me.
I would start with Nemuro.
I don't know. That's in Hokkaido, right?
It's the eastern Hokkaido.
In the east, yeah.
In the east. It's a whole different Japan going out there.
We nearly went there for Journey Across Japan in February, but then the bloody COVID kicked
right.
off.
Right, okay.
Japan went into a lockdown again. But Nemuro, what's that famous for? It's kind of like, the east Hokkaido is a whole different world.
Whole different. It's like Canada of Japan, I would
right,
say.
Right.
It's a grizzly bear.
Crispy bear.
Crispy bear
of Hokkaido.
Yeah, okay. Hokkaido crispy. Normally, the kind of bear that we have in Tohoku and other parts of Japan is like, it's a, how do you call it? It's a moon, like...
we have the black bear.
The black bear. Like, yeah. It's like 2 meters height.
Sure.
Big enough, yeah, but yeah. But in Hokkaido, Nemuro, that area, you actually see the serious bear.
Serious bear.
Crispy bear.
Serious crispy bear.
Yeah, they. And you can actually, they have a tour.
Right.
They're watching the bear. And also they've got great nature. How do you call that thing, that the ice that's coming to the coast?
Icebergs.
Icebergs, yeah.
So you can get a ferry, can't you, that can go through the sea.
Mm.
The Sea of Okhotsk. I think it's called.
Yeah, Ohotsk, yeah.
And look through all the ice. And it looks really stunning. I really want to do that, and I'm gutted that I wasn't able to do it.
So that's where you can do it, Nemuro and that area. And you can also invade Russia if you want to.
Oh, gosh.
it's right there.
Political
you can
tension.
Actually see.
You can see Russia, yeah. They stole all the islands, didn't
exactly.
they?
Exactly.
World War II.
It's going to be a good chance for us to just take it over again.
Ryotaro will be riding into Russia on his crispy bears. What's the local food of Nemuro?
Nemuro in that area is famous for seafood. The crabs, especially. Mm. The Hokkaido is famous for crabs. And also they've got... and right next to Nemuro, there is a city called Kushiro.
Kushiro.
And Kushiro is famous for seafood barbecue.
Seafood barbecue?
On a grill. Good. Yeah, charcoal grill. And that definitely you have to try. And the Nemuro in that area is also famous for kombu.
Seaweed?
Kombu seaweed. You get dashi, your broth, out of. And the people actually go all the way there to get the best kombu from that area, definitely.
So seaweeds, bears and icebergs, Nemuro in Hokkaido, number one. Interesting place. I haven't been there, would love to go. And I'll definitely try and make up for this year's failure by going there next year.
Try the nature tour.
What's the best time to visit?
Oh, really? Depends. If you want to see the iceberg, definitely it's winter.
Okay.
But obviously, summer is nice because it doesn't get that hot.
Although Although you run the risk of running into bears in summer.
Yeah, of course.
And I mean, they're pretty dangerous, those ones.
That's one of the excitement.
Until you die. Yeah. All right, next point. Number two, what you got?
I have Hotokegaura in Aomori.
Ah, okay. I've been there with you in a video, right?
Yeah, exactly. Aomori is, they're like two horns, right? Two horns, the right horn and left horn. And this Hotokegaura is
peninsula?
Peninsula-wise, yeah.
Just because I think people are going to get confused.
It's a two horn. if you look at it from above.
Sure.
The it's on the right peninsula.
Mm.
And it's on the tip of it. How do you call that place? It's rocks of mountains.
Are they made of chalk?
Yeah.
We went there in a video called Japan's $2 million tuna. And in that video, Ryota and I went fishing for tuna.
Yeah.
That area has the most prized tuna in all of Japan and the most expensive.
Yeah.
But around that area, we went to Hotokegaura, which is quite a difficult word to say. And they've got these like really beautiful chalk sculptures.
Yeah.
They're like really strange. They're like very sharp, pointy, kind of thing. It's really hard to describe what they are.
It just reminded me of like Lord of the Rings or...
It looked like Lord of the Rings. It looked almost like the edge of the earth when I was there. Yeah. I felt like I was on the edge of the world or something. A beautiful stunning place. Yeah.
Later, I saw a guidebook about like 50 sceneries that you must see in like the world, and only one from Japan was the Hotokigaura.
That's insane.
Yeah,
but I can see why. It is a bit of a trek to get up there, but a very rewarding place to explore. And you've also got Osorizan, a really beautiful temple in a caldera.
Really hard there. To film.
And Ryota and I, for our video, that video, we tried to film there, and I said, oh, it's quite sulfuric. It smells quite pungent. And they watched the video, didn't they? Like the monks, so they were like, this is unacceptable.
They thought we were making it funny or something.
Yeah, they thought we were making fun of it. And I was pointing out an objective fact. It smelled of sulfur because it was a volcano. But anyway, still bitter about that. I'm going back there and filming it without their permission.
You really should. I mean, like, that's something that's really worth seeing. It's kind of, that's again, like a totally different world. You're like edge of the world somewhere.
So that part of Japan, very beautiful, quite difficult to get to. You need to get like a bullet train to Hachinohe, switch to a local train.
Yeah. Or take a ferry from Hakodate.
Or do that.
Yeah.
Cool. Very good point. Number three, though. Third place.
Ishigaki Island, where we're going.
So Ishigaki is one of Japan's most southern islands.
Yes. One of the most. The Ishigaki Island is a island. It's called Yaeyama Shoto, is the name of the kind of islands. Islands. And one of the biggest one in Yaeyama Islands is Ishigaki Island.
Okay.
So it's the most southern islands of the whole Japan, like even more south of like than Okinawa.
How does it compare to Okinawa?
Well, let me just tell you this way. It's only 100 kilometers from Taiwan.
So it's pretty warm for most of the year.
Very tropical, very tropical. Right. And it's got its own like very unique culture, the Ryukyu culture. It used to be a kingdom, right?
Okinawa. Yeah, Ryukyu kingdom.
So it's got like a really strong culture, like Okinawa Ryukyu culture remained in those islands. And it's just simply beautiful.
Mm.
The sea, the Kabira Bay, is one of the most beautiful bays that I think in Japan.
I want to film in Kabira Bay, but you can't swim there.
Why you're not allowed. That? I don't know. It's been like, I don't know.
Cultural
like protection, whatever it is. And also, right next to Ishigaki Island is Taketomi Island. It's only 15 minutes by boat.
And what's there? What's there?
It's that all the houses. It's just a small island, right? All the houses are all like wall, right? Right outside the houses. They're all made out of leaf. How's that?
They're made out of leaves.
No, the leaves. How's that? What's that thing called? In the sea, the plant.
Seaweed.
No, it's not the stone.
Chalk.
No, it's a chalk.
Starfish.
No. The thing that's really beautiful. Like it doesn't. It's like a stone. It's like a plant. That's a
coral.
Coral thing. Oh. That's it.
Oh, okay.
It's made out of the coral.
Wow.
All the walls.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and made out of walls, and also like the houses, in Taketomi are all protected, meaning that you cannot like build like ordinary looking houses like Japanese looking houses. They all have to be, like the traditional ones, right? And then there are two types of like accommodation that you can get to stay. One is like just ordinary hotel, right? But looking like the traditional house.
Yeah.
But the other one is the Japanese inn, like a minshuku.
Okay.
It's owned by just a family or something.
Mm.
And what they do, this is something that I want all you to try, is that when you stay at this like little like house, like it's like almost a homestay, right? They have after dinner, they serve you dinner. It comes with dinner and breakfast.
Yeah.
And it costs like less than $100 normally.
It's pretty reasonable. It's really,
yeah. And then after dinner, they have this called yuntaku. It's like after dinner party.
Ah.
So like you actually drink with the people who are staying and also the family. The owner family.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and they do it every night.
Wow. What is the food of Ishigaki? You don't really hear about it much.
They've got a really big like shrimp called kurumaebi. That's what and they use ramen, not ramen, Okinawa soba. It's like ramen,
cool.
Yeah, really. That's what using the bonito broth.
Hmm.
It's very nice.
Oh, nice.
And also they have Ishigaki beef.
Oh, more beef.
And that melts in your mouth.
I bet it does, just like every other cut
exactly.
of
but
in Japan.
Let me tell you, what's so special about the Ishigaki beef is the, we have many different kinds of like, famous beef in Japan, right?
Yes,
too many. what they do is that they grow this baby cow.
Yeah.
And then they actually send it to like all these places in Japan. And then they become whatever beef. So the, originally, like many cows, they were like born in these islands. And then they're sent off.
Why is that?
It's just the climate, I guess.
Huh.
Yeah. And the Kuro...
Cows love the sun.
I guess so.
Do they?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm not really sure. But there is an island called Kuroshima, like a black island, right next to Ishigaki. You can just... Yeah. It's only half an hour. Every once in a year, there is a Kuroshima festival and a cow festival. Ushimatsuri. Cow festival. There's a draw.
Mm.
Like end of the festival, there's a draw. If you win, you get the cow. You get a cow as a home.
Yeah, take it home.
Exactly. As a reward.
What the hell?
You can take it home
like
if you want
to. Bag.
But see, you can what if you or I win, right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to like, you know, just take it home.
It's why impossible. Not? I'll stick it on the ANA flight.
Yeah, of course you can do that. Okay, flight.
In the seat next to me. The cow's coming with me.
But what happens is that there are like many kind of buyers like around like in the festival.
Mm.
So, and then so at the moment, oh, I win.
Yeah.
So I won, right? So these buyers will come to you and say, oh, I'm going to buy your cow at this price. That's what people do. And
that's
you get
cool.
About $1 million. I mean, million yen.
Oh,
yeah.
That's $10,000.
Well, just
a pretty big drop in price.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
but that's awesome. Let's get a cow when we go.
Let's get a cow.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
So, cows and excitement in Ishigaki. Fourth place that you recommend.
Mount Aso
in
Kumamoto.
Favorite. Too much volcano.
Too much volcano.
ASO.
Yeah, see, I...
Needs no introduction.
I was so jealous that he, you know, that song.
Really?
Yeah, Too Much Volcano went on like, it's a, was that, the, it went on a ranking, right? Or the, I, like, I, like, in an Apple Store ranking.
Yeah, I think it was like 14.
It's amazing.
On the iTunes,
it's amazing. So, yeah, the whole world.
You can make a song in Ishigaki on Journey Across Japan. Don't worry.
Ishigaki Sea or something, whatever.
Oh,
it is.
Dear.
Yeah. Anyway. So, Mount Aso, the scenery is so special. You've been there, right?
Yeah. It doesn't really need much of an introduction, this one, because most of our viewers will know from Journey Across Japan. It is like, it has some of the most extraordinarily beautiful scenery in all of Japan. Like, I can't recall seeing landscapes like that anywhere else in the country.
No.
With all the sort of calderas and the mountains. Honestly, nowhere else in Japan quite like it. I highly recommend a trip to Aso.
Definitely. And talking about Mount Aso, right next to Mount Aso, in the Mount Aso, there is a place called Rakuda Yama. They serve the best chicken ever. Chicken barbecue place.
Really?
Rakudayama. It's in the whole Japan, I'm talking about.
Oh, how did I miss that?
Yeah, yeah. Rakudayama. So, like, just try to search for Rakudayama and just go there. Experience. It's just an amazing experience you will have.
Yeah, and you can check out our video from Journey Across Japan on that last year because we covered Aso in detail. Okay, number five.
Number five. Kochi City.
I went there.
Shikoku.
We went there in September on a wacky weekend with my friend Connor. Mm. And we went to the market.
Yes, that's what I was going to talk about.
What's it called? Iroha? No.
No, that's different. Hirome Ichiba.
Hirome Ichiba.
Hirome Market.
Yes, I went there with Connor. We had Bonito fish.
Yeah, bonito fish.
Tataki.
Tataki.
Yes.
Like kind of surface char grilled bonito fish.
Yeah, really bloody tasty. Lightly it's kind of grilled. Like grilled on the outside, so it's got a sort of nice barbecue taste and then quite juicy in the middle. Sweet and juicy. Ah, it's amazing.
The Hirome Ichiba is like, it consists of, say, 40 restaurants, I guess. 40 little restaurants, and it's like a food court, right?
Mm.
So you can get food from these, say, multiple number of shops, and then you can gather and eat all this food at one table.
Yeah. Why Kochi though? Just for that?
Just for that, it's really worth just going there. I mean, Kochi itself has got like really nice, beautiful rivers that you can do the kayaking. And
it's quite a difficult to reach place. I mean, I drove to Kochi from Osaka, and it's on the far side of the island of Shikoku, so it's pretty isolated. I imagine you just fly there, though.
You just fly there.
Yeah.
I mean, from Narita, there's like LCC, so we can fly really cheap as well.
Oh, cool. Mm. All right, Kochi. Yeah. Good for nature, good for fish, good for the market.
Yep.
Sixth place, what do you got?
Kamikochi in Nagano.
I've always wanted to go to Kamikochi. That's on my hit list.
I think it's one of the World Heritage places.
I know. So Kamikochi is a very isolated mountain range in Nagano. It was only accessible a few decades ago when they drilled a tunnel into it, basically. But it was untouched and unspoiled. There had been no logging in that neighborhood. Like, most of Japan has been logged at some point. The trees have been chopped down and turned into desks and flutes and whatever Japanese people have when they have wood. Yeah. But Kamikochi, untouched, unspoiled.
It's untouched. And also, you cannot go there by the private transportation, for instance, cars. You're not allowed.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You have to take a electric bus to protect the environment.
So you would drive to near Kamikochi, switch to the bus,
and you get there. And then there is like the really expensive hotel called the Imperial Hotel
in Tokyo.
In Tokyo, right?
Which we went to for the Day in My Life video. Where
exactly.
I won a silly
you
award.
Wanted to, yeah, exactly. So there are, I think there are only three Imperial Hotels in Japan.
Right.
One in Tokyo, one in Osaka, and the third one in Kamikochi.
No way.
Yeah.
Huh. When did that open?
Long time ago.
All right.
Long time ago. So Kamikochi, it's like a Switzerland almost like.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Zermatt.
The photos, if you look up Kamikochi, it looks like the Garden of Eden. Yeah. It looks like heaven on earth.
Yeah, it is.
When was the last time you were there?
5 years ago, 5-6 years ago. Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. I went there in summer. I mean, it's closed during the winter, so be careful.
How much time would you recommend spending there? Is it like a few days of hiking?
Well, I mean, there are like only several hotels that you can get to stay. Because, I mean, and you're not allowed to build hotels anymore.
Oh, right.
Those hotels are the only hotels that you can get to stay.
Wow.
So it's really hard to book hotels. So if you're lucky enough, you can just go ahead and then book it and just stay there for 2-3 days. And if you're into trekking, definitely that's the place to go.
Place to trek. Mm. Fantastic. Okay. Seventh place that you recommend.
Right, Niseko.
Hey, yay. I was there just 3 months ago with the Trash Taste guys. We went skiing, right. Top premier ski resort in Japan, right?
Yeah, I was there only like a month and a half ago.
Wow.
Now I was just...
I recommended a restaurant to you, but you said it was...
It was closed. Too bad. COVID.
Niseko is quite comfortably the nicest ski resort I've seen in Japan.
By far. It's like world class.
The biggest, the biggest is in like Nagano, and the biggest ones
Shigakogen
are in Nagano.
Shigakogen and that area.
Hakuba. But Niseko is a real sort of high class premium feel to it. It's not cheap. It was pretty expensive for the week that I went there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the population of Niseko is like 3,000 or something. It's really small village, but it's got like a Park Hyatt, it's got like a Ritz-Carlton, all these like expensive hotels, they're all there.
All included, yeah.
And also the quality of restaurants is really, really high.
Absolutely, yeah, the restaurants were exceptional. Yeah. But also the quality of the snow, the main reason people go there,
powder.
Some of the highest snowfall on the planet in that part of Hokkaido, and it's very powdery, fluffy snow, perfect for skiing, and you do it all in front of a massive mountain called Mount Yote, which is right in front of the resort. Yeah. So it's a very picturesque and stunning resort as well.
And amount of like the snowfall, like it's a lot. Like it almost snows every single day, meaning that in every morning you can enjoy the powder snow.
My car, I left my car for like 3 or 4 days.
No, you
and I went back to it, and it took me like an hour to excavate and then I couldn't get out of the car park. Because someone else got their car stuck and half the hotel had to come out and like excavate this bloody car. Bit of a nightmare. So if you do go with a car, get the snow off, like dig it out every other day because it just gets ridiculously buried. But if you want to go skiing anywhere in Japan and you've got a good budget to play with, Niseko is the unrivaled champion. All right. Number eight.
Hachinohe.
Hachinohe.
Morning market.
Hachinohe morning market.
Hachinohe morning market.
Oh.
You've been there. We've been there.
We've been there. We've been there.
We did a video.
I haven't been there in a few years now, but I absolutely love Hachinohe.
Hachinohe.
It's a beautiful place, but the morning market is the biggest in Japan. Right?
Yeah. Well, morning market is a thing in Japan, isn't it? Like, I've been to many markets, but like, you know, in the world, right? But they're normally all like night markets.
Yeah, well,
in Japan, yeah.
Where?
I don't know what I'm talking about. Worldwide, like you know, if you go to Thailand, there are night markets. Was like, you know, if you go to like day market, but not there are not many places where have a morning market. Mm. The morning market is like, to me, is like a Japanese thing, isn't it?
I think it was one of my I don't know about that, but like it's one of my favorite videos that we've made together. You have to get up really early for it, really, to enjoy Hachinohe. 5 a.m. It peaks at like 7 or 8.
They close at 9.
Yeah, it closes at 9 for God's sake. So you need to make sure you've had a good night's sleep the night before. But it's just a magical place. I remember we went, there was great coffee. There was exceptional fried chicken. Truly exceptional. That was what I remember
fried
the most.
Chicken at 6 a.m.
There was even a car. Someone trying to sell their car.
Yeah, at the $500.
And there's people playing music. It was a very dynamic, exciting place. Did we go in winter?
No,
We went autumn. So it wasn't too cold.
Yeah, they're like, it's a morning market of like consists of say 300 or more than 300 shops.
Yes.
Yeah, so if you just walk around like 2 hours is like may not be enough to like if you go by one. And every weekend there are like more than 30,000 people.
That's insane.
Come in that like only 4 hours.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's I mean, Hachinohe, whenever people come up, whenever friends used to come over to Japan, I would actually take them on like a little road trip. And we would often go to Hachinohe and we'd twin the Hachinohe morning market with the Yatai Mura stand. So in the town of Hachinohe, there's lots of little Yatai stalls where it's like a bar or restaurant that fits about 5 or 6 people. And if you saw a video, Ryota and I went there, we did a video called... Japan nightlife etiquette.
It went viral actually. People liked it.
It did do very well. And it's just Ryota and I going around Hachinohe at night. But like, it's a great place to go. A for the Yataimura and getting the great local food and the atmosphere. Yeah,
and also meet people because you're so next to each other. Yeah, it's so small place and like, you know, people ask you where you're from and stuff.
So it's good for a night out. And then in the following morning, providing you're not too hungover, you can go to the morning market, right? Yeah. So you've got that sort of twin experience.
Definitely, definitely.
It's a beautiful place and it's only, I think, what, 3 hours by bullet train from Tokyo, right?
Right.
So it's pretty accessible. It's far north, but it's quite easy to get to.
But be careful. They're closed during the winter.
The market.
The market, morning market. It's like from January to March.
January to March.
Yeah. So now it's open. Awesome. It's opening. It's opening.
Have to drop by soon.
Yep.
All right. Good. Good. Good recommendation. Number nine. What do you got?
Yufuin.
Ah.
Oita.
Oita. So this is a hot spring resort in Oita. I haven't been there. I looked at going during Journey Across Japan 3. We ended up going to Kurokawa Onsen, which is actually not too far
nice
away.
Too. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's not bad at all.
Why Yufuin?
Yufuin, they, you know how like Japanese kind of touristy resorts, right? Touristy places. They have like all the signs everywhere. That's to me that's ugly.
Sure.
And they try to keep the place really like lean and clean and without these the signs. If they put ever signs, they actually make out of the wood and stuff like that.
Okay.
It's really nature. And you know, they have no guardrails on the road. So it's, so it's almost like they, as if you're in Japan, say 200 years ago.
Yeah.
Because you only see wood, the wooden places, like no guardrails, no metal things.
No guardrails.
No metallic things. And
have a good insurance policy.
No. That way, you're not, they don't have cliffs or anything. It's all flat land. And there are some, the three ryokans. I forgot the names. They're really, really nice. But they're quite expensive, like maybe $500, $600 per night. But it's really worth it. So definitely, if you're around Kyushu, Yufuin. You will love the place.
Is it better than the neighboring Beppu?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, so, see, Beppu is different. Beppu is like lots of ryokans, the big ryokans, and it's really fun to like kind of roam around.
Beppu is the biggest hot spring town in Japan, I think, right?
It's more like relaxing.
Yufuin
is more relaxing. It's more like a nature. Again, the trekking stuff. So
it's been able to keep on to its traditions.
Yeah, definitely.
Which I think is really important. Because, you know, a lot of hot spring towns in Japan are just big touristy places with big hulking ugly hotels. It's important to hold on to those sort of traditions and architecture. Yeah. Cool. Yufuin. Number 10, what do you got?
Number 10, I would say Towada City, Aomori.
In Aomori.
Aomori. It's the it's got what the Towada City has got it's a famous worldly famous Oirase Gorge.
Yeah, I know we went there. I don't know if we filmed it. We filmed the Oirase Hotel. We did a video called Japan's most beautiful hot spring or cider or something.
And I made a video as well in my channel about
Ryotaro's Japan.
Yeah, Ryotaro's Japan, exactly. So thank you for promoting it for me. It's the Oirase Gorge is really, really beautiful, especially during the summer, I would say.
Mm.
Yeah, because it's just a green. It reminds me of all these Ghibli films.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the forests are very dense and luscious and there's lots of nice moss.
Yeah, that's a moss.
Over the rocks.
And they have a moss tour.
A moss
walking tour.
Well, I know what I'm going to go on when I'm old.
But the hotel that we stayed, right, during the video, and that was really good. Oirase Keiryu Hotel.
Yeah, so the Oirase Keiryu Hotel, it's not the cheapest hotel.
No, it's not.
But
food.
They have
amazing onsen.
A very authentic hot spring in a waterfall, right?
Yep.
So it's just a waterfall, and there's a hot spring just next to it, naturally pumping up.
And naturally pumping up. And then there's like a separate like annex onsen, and they take you on the bus.
Yeah, you have to get up at 5 a.m.
Yeah,
get on a bus.
No, that's because we were filming.
True.
Yeah. And also, don't forget about, like when you go to Towada, don't forget about the Towada Art Museum. Modern Art Museum. Mm. You haven't been, right?
No.
Yeah, that is something that you must see, because Towada is trying to make the whole town, the whole city art. So they don't only like exhibit the art work inside the museum, but also outside.
Okay, sculptures and things.
Yeah, sculptures and shit. And also, like I think I called one of the artwork Chris.
Oh dear.
In my video.
Hopefully,
so
it was a handsome piece of artwork.
Yeah,
the only problem with Towada is it's a little bit difficult to get to.
No, not so much.
Well, if you've got a car, it's fine.
But... No, but we got a Shinkansen station called Shinohe Toada.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
I mean, you know, see, that's not right in the center of the town. Oh, okay. So you still have to drive, but it's like that's the closest station, Shinohe Toada. Yeah. But anyway.
There's lots of strange things in that neighborhood, like the place, the town where they thought Jesus died.
Oh, yeah. Shingo Village.
It's like half an hour from there.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to go and see where Jesus really got buried.
Yeah.
And then not too far west, they eat bears. We did a video there last year, didn't we, where we ate a bear.
Oh, that was pretty good, actually. That place
was all right.
That's all right. I liked the deer, actually.
The deer was good. But very cool area. I forgot about that. That part of Aomori. It's a very mysterious place.
Authentic, let's put it that way.
Yeah. Interesting choice. Toada and South Aomori. All right, 11th.
11th, Ginzan Onsen in Yamagata.
I just got back from filming with Natsuki and Sharla there.
What do you think? I just love the place.
Well, I've been there a few times. I think it's one of the most beautiful hot spring towns in Japan, but big criticism, I don't think the hot springs are very good.
No,
in the hotels.
Yeah, see, that's why. it's nice to actually go there and film or like take a photo and just enjoy the just walking around. But like you said, the onsen, the quality of the onsen, the hot spring itself is extraordinary.
Yeah, I mean the bathhouses, the baths I've had there have all been pretty average.
Agree.
And not great. You know, you don't get like a private hot spring in your room. Any of the places there. Yeah, that's a big weak point. But it's made up for completely by the visuals. And my personal recommendation would be to go to Ginzan, but maybe not
But where'd you stay, though?
I can't remember the name of it.
Okay, so there is a really, really nice hotel, just only one.
Yeah.
I'd say it's called Fujiya.
Fujiya.
Yeah, because if you stay there, then I think you'll be all satisfied. Okay. We're all like, yeah, you like it, you love the including onsen itself.
Try to
stay there, but it's again, it's a bit, it costs a little bit.
To get to Ginzan, it's quite easy. You get the bullet train most of the way, can't you?
Yeah, Oishida.
To like just north of Yamagata City. Yeah.
And many ryokans, like they actually go and pick you up at the station.
Yeah, cool. Mm. But like, yeah, very, I mean, that place was designed for Instagram.
I totally agree though. I totally agree. It's so photogenic. And there's actually Tendo Onsen. There's like another onsen area, Tendo Onsen. They actually have a bus tour to Ginza Onsen. Onsen to onsen.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, so like these people stay at Tendo Onsen, but they just go to Ginza Onsen just to take photos.
I mean, I've stayed at Tendo a lot more than I've stayed at Ginza. It's much more reasonable on the piggy bank. All right, and the final.
Final one, Toyama City.
Toyama City
in Toyama Prefecture.
I haven't been to Toyama since Journey Across Japan when I had the black ramen with Sharla.
Yeah, okay. Black ramen is great.
That was my impression of Toyama. The scenery is nice in Toyama. Actually, I tell a lie, we did go round Toyama on Journey Across Japan 2. We stayed at this like weird campsite and then drove into Takayama, which is in the neighbouring Gifu Prefecture. Yeah, I don't really know much about Toyama. I know it's got some of the biggest mountains in Japan.
Yes.
It's got a place I really want to go to, the dam. Kurobe Dam.
So yeah, so you know these places, right?
Yeah.
So Toyama, Toyama City is a place I like, especially because you can actually overlook this Northern Alps of Japan.
Yeah.
From the city.
Yeah.
Especially there is a place where you can actually see the Toyama Bay and Toyama City and the Northern Alps in one site.
You know, the Alps are massive. We're talking about 3,000 meters.
Yeah, and then right next to the city. That's what's amazing, because normally when you have the mountain range of 3,000, you know, meters.
Yeah,
it's normally you need to. It's quite far from the city.
Sure.
Normally, but it's not. Toyama City is quite a big city, right next to those like, you know, Northern Alps or the 3,000 meter high mountains.
What would you recommend to do within Toyama, though?
Oh, just the izakaya. Definitely really? Izakaya. The fish sashimi is really really good. The fish is really nice. The sushi definitely is.
Because Toyama's on the west coast, right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, so different kind of fish that you can get from the from the cities that are facing the Pacific Ocean. Because this is the Toyama's facing the Japan Sea. So if you go to Toyama, definitely sushi restaurant. Even like the, those like going around sushi, it's really worth trying.
Have you ever had black ramen?
Yes, I have.
What did you think of it?
Okay, so let me just kind of explain a little bit about black ramen. It's the soup is black. And then if you go to this original place called Daiki, the Daiki is like the original place that they serve black ramen. Daiki, the ramen at Daiki is just so salty. So salty that I would not recommend anyone if you're just kind of like, you know, expecting something to be really, really nice or something. It's just, you just, if you enjoy the saltiness, just go ahead.
I mean, it was designed to be eaten with rice.
Yes, it is. So it's the, it was the first ramen ever that, and the first thing I did was I ate the bamboo thing, you know, the menma.
Yeah.
And I ate bamboo, and before getting to get, before reaching the ramen itself, the noodle itself, I had to go to the rice because it's so salty, the menma itself.
Yeah.
So, but Daiki is the only place it's that salty. If you go to other ramen, black ramen restaurant, it's like a lot better.
Oh, I don't know which one I went to, but it was the saltiest thing
that's,
I've ever put in
my mouth. Daiki. That's definitely Daiki.
Both Sharla and I recoiled while trying to eat it. And my stomach felt really bad afterwards because, you know, ramen in general is pretty salty already, let alone with something that's basically just pure salt.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd still recommend trying it. And I kind of want to try it again, but maybe if there's some sort of less black ramen variant, like less salty variant.
Try sushi then.
Low salt black ramen. Let's bring it on.
Okay, all right. And then can I talk about Toyama once more?
Yeah.
Something else.
Go on, man.
Okay. There is one the city. Right next to Toyama City, there is a city that they have... they somehow like cleanse the oysters. You know, oysters have it's a bacteria inside.
Yeah.
And some people cannot handle it, and then they have like, you know, diarrhea afterwards or whatever. But, and so Toyama has a special facility that they are really, like, they are specialized in cleaning the oysters all from all over Japan.
Really?
So this place is the only place in the whole Japan you can enjoy oysters from all over Japan.
Huh.
That's the only place. But normally, right, if you're in Sendai, you can only eat the ones around from this area, right?
From Matsushima.
From Matsushima or from Iwate or these areas. But Toyama, you can enjoy oysters from everywhere.
Could be good.
Yeah. So that's what I... no one knows about this thing. And so if you're listening to this podcast, you're the only one who would like learn this thing. And you will enjoy that when you go to Toyama.
One of the chosen few, you now know where to get oysters from.
Yeah.
Interesting list. I'm just going to do a quick recap as we go through it. And as I do, have a think, Ryotaro. Yeah. Which one would be your number one choice? If you could only recommend one. So first we had Hotokigaura in Aomori.
Yeah.
Followed by Nemuro in Hokkaido. Mm. Ishigaki in Okinawa. Mount Aso in Kumamoto.
Mm.
Kochi City in Kochi. Mm. Kamikochi. Lots of Kochis. Kamikochi in Nagano, central Japan. Nisiko in Hokkaido.
Mm-hmm.
Hachinohe in Aomori. Yufu in Hot Spring Town in Oita.
Mm-hmm.
Tawada and Tawada Lake in Aomori.
Mm.
Ginzan Onsen in Yamagata. And finally, Toyama in Toyama Prefecture.
Right.
Which is, I should say, quite an easy place to get to. About 2 hours by bullet train from Tokyo, I think. Quite easy to get to. And out of all those places, if you could recommend one, what would it be?
Really hard. I
reckon I know which one you're going to go for.
What?
Well, I can't. It's awkward. I can't really say.
Have
you decided where it is?
Kind of.
I think it's Ishigaki. Because you always bang on about it.
No.
Every time I see you, you're like, oh, yeah, mate, Ishigaki.
Ishigaki is good, but it's, I don't know. If you're, that's what I was going to ask you. In what are you exactly looking for? If you're looking for a tropical, nice weather, like a resort.
I don't want variables. I just want you to tell me which one you'd recommend the most.
Kochi.
Kochi, really?
Yeah.
That's a surprise. I mean, Kochi's great.
No,
it's just got a barbecued fish.
It's not. It's just the Hirome Ichiba, the whole atmosphere. Because I recommend this place because the 70% of the people who are in Hirome Ichiba, they're all locals. They're not tourists.
Yeah,
they're all Kochi
that,
people.
Yeah.
So if you just sit next to these people, it's like, oh, where are you from? Like,
oh, yeah, that week.
Yeah, like, where are you from? It's like, oh, Seattle, Ichiro. stuff like that. You know what I mean?
When
like,
I went there with Connor, we had quite a few people actually sort of sit down and talk to us. It was a very busy market. Like, I was really surprised by how bustling it was.
People are drunk from like noon on the weekends.
Yeah, it was a really cool atmosphere actually. There's not, I don't think I've ever been to a market quite like that. Yeah.
And then
in Japan,
and I've been to like many markets, right? And this is the place where, like, you know, because I mean, like I told you, I want to kind of reveal the places that have not been known or discovered by, you know, anyone, well, like outside, you know, people from outside yet. So, and I would say Kochi, the Hirome Ichima, Hirome Market, it's in the Kochi city, it's right in the center, is a place where people should go when people come here.
Nice
Japan.
Choice. If I had to choose out the list, I would say Mount Aso. Mount Aso.
Because
Kumoto.
You made a song.
Because I made a song. But also, it is just the most visually striking place in Japan, in my view. Yeah. There is nowhere else quite like that, but those are our recommendations.
But you missed the chicken.
I did miss the chicken.
Yeah, it was a Rakudayama. You have to try
I did ride a horse up the mountainside.
Did you eat the horse?
I didn't eat a horse. Oh. I felt a bit disrespectful that time. I did eat a horse a few years ago there. It is the cuisine of Aso, of course. Horse meat. Yeah. Got to be tried. But don't try it when you ride a horse.
Okay, right.
That's just
that's our tendency.
That's something Ryotaro
in Japan. That's something that we tend to do in Japan. Like, you know, eating like lamb barbecue, like watching sheep and, you know, just riding a horse and
it's a sinister culture and a sinister man. But thank you so much for your suggestions, Ryotaro. Some really interesting ones there. You know, it's always good when we have guests come on and give their recommendations. It's always such a diverse list. But because you travelled the country so extensively, it's probably the most varied list to date, so thank you so much. You can check out Ryotaro on Ryotaro's Japan, the
we're laughing
top YouTube channel content top there YouTube. And of course Ryotaro will be joining on Journey Across Japan.
Sperrier YouTuber.
What did you say?
Sperrier YouTuber than a British peasant.
Sperrier?
Yeah,
what does that mean?
Sperrier?
You just created a new word.
Is it? Okay, sorry.
What is it? What have you been drinking? Too much fizzy
some
pop.
Drunk.
But keep the stories, questions, comments coming in, guys.
Thank
Unfortunately,
you.
We've had no questions this week because we're about out of time. We've only got Ryotaro for a certain amount of time. But Pete will finally be back next week, I believe. I hope he is.
Oh, is he?
Because he's been,
finally.
It felt like an endless amount
Caribbean?
Of time. Yeah, he's been sailing around the Caribbean.
Really? Pirating? Or
pirates, yeah. Pete the pirate. Of course he is. But we'll be back on Thursday to do it all over again, guys. For now, no matter where you might be out in the big wide world, enjoy the first week of April, and we'll see you right back here, do it all over again on the Abroad Japan podcast. Bye, Ryotaro, and thanks for
I'll come back for sure.
Don't know about that.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.